Hello and welcome to this episode of Not Just Ghost Stories. I'm your host Josh, joined by Jackie and Laura. In this episode, we are going to do something a little different. We're going to have a series of guests talking about different things. I know it's not just ghost stories, Jackie, Laura, and everything else, but we're going to be talking about ghost stories and different paranormal things that have happened to people. Today, the very first guest that we have on is Becky. Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
And she's going to tell us some of her experiences. Jackie, I know you had the first question.
I did. So basically from what you've told me is you get premonitions and stuff. So when did these start? Have you always had them your entire life or?
Probably, when I was younger, because I would just tell my dad things and it just floored him. Like, and it was weird stuff that a kid doesn't think of. But I was in bed, woke up, thought I got to tell an adult. I forgot how old I was. Wasn't driving, so I was young. And told him that the house down the street was being robbed. I had no idea who they were. And Dad, go back to bed. And he looked out. I said, I'm telling you, the house is being robbed. And it was a couple hours later, probably about midnight. And he comes in, wakes me up, gray. How did you know? I said, I don't know. I just knew. And there's other things. Right now, I can't think what they, but I just have feelings. And when I do, I just tell the person or, and most of the time it comes true. And some things I say, I'm saying, I hope this doesn't come true, but I'm telling you what I see. And then I was good at, with my, my dad, my mother, I think it was her uncle, but when people die, I can see their souls leave if I'm there. Because I got mad. I had my mother at the house, and she died that morning, and I wasn't there. Because it just gives me the calmest feeling, but it's like a mist, and it just goes up and dissipates. So I know there's something else out there for us when we leave this world.
Okay, you said you were young when this started. Did it scare you, and how did you get used to it? You just accepted it right away, or?
Yeah, I've been laid back my whole life. But yeah, just, should I say something? Should I not? You know how you, because people think you're crazy. But I started telling my dad, and when we moved to Union, in that house, he was building it. It was a barn, and the apartment was upstairs. He come ask me what I thought of the place, my feelings. I mean, Dad knew I had what he called it, the gift, but whatever it was. And yeah, I felt good, felt great until, of course, after he passed, and then different stories happened there too.
So, Becky, are you the only one in your family?
Mm-hmm. I was adopted also.
Okay. Yep. Those are generally, a lot of times, generational. The spirit leaving after someone has died. My great-grandmother could do that. She described it as a light that just came out and would just exit like the closest window or whatever way it could get out. And
well,
she
I think
described
my
it
dad
as a ball
believed
of light.
Because his aunt, now I'm adopted, so it's just, but his aunt, she was a psychic. And she talked to people in Hollywood. She lived in, I think it was Lexington or Winchester. But she was, had the big crystal ball, but she could get feelings, look at crystal ball. Yeah, she was good. I forgot her, Mabel Fightmaster. But she used to read for people.
That's interesting.
But I'm adopted, so,
Well, Becky, how do most of your premonitions come to you?
Dreams.
So, like, while you're sleeping, do you wake up, like, in the middle of them, and then?
Nope, I sleep, but I remember it as soon as I get up. Okay. And if I have it three times, that's when I'll tell somebody. A lot of times it's color. A lot of times it's, I told you about something, and it was charcoal. Not take your dog to the ghost hunt. Not your dog, but a dog was going to disrupt the ghost hunt. Just certain, and it's weird stuff. It ain't. Your dad, I've talked to your dad.
Yeah, you've never met, she's never met my family.
Never met, didn't know what he looked like.
And my dad passed, and what she told me was kind of on the mark, and it was kind of personal and stuff.
It was. But I had to tell you, I had to get it out, so I did.
So what happens if you don't tell? Have you ever not acted upon it?
Well, I'm still looking for the Chinese people. Are you? Still haven't found them. And that was so vivid. But yeah, now I don't go out, so I guess I'll never see them. I had a message. Now I can't remember what it was, but yes, very vivid.
Well, maybe this summer we'll make it our, we'll go around all the Chinese restaurants and see if we can find them.
Weird. Just weird stuff.
It comes to you in dreams. Are you able to request answers to certain things? Like, have you tried meditating on certain topics or people to see if you could get a vision delivered to you?
No. Now, daydreams, a lot of times, or I'll take a nap. I never have a dream during a nap. Never. And a nap, I'm talking cat nap, half hour, hour at the most with my girls, my little dogs. And I'll take it. Best sleep I've ever had. It's nighttime. And I think it's around, I want to say between 3 and 5 in the morning, because I remember it when I get up. I always remember it. And usually a lot of dreams, you know how you have a dream and I don't remember what it was. I always remember it.
See, and as like for me, I mean, I have dreams, but if I remember them, then that's something that I'd, and if it's, especially if it's recurring, that's something that I really have to, you know, kind of get out. But half the time, I don't remember any of my dreams.
And I've had dreams like, you'd wake up like, what, you know, and then it's like, I don't know. So if it is, I'll have it again. But, yeah.
Now, is it a dream? I mean, there are some times you're in bed, but you know you're not asleep. And because sometimes, my grandmother, that one day she tried to contact me, that's when she would come. I'm in bed, but I am awake, and I know I'm awake. And she would come, and I couldn't hear her. And she did this several times, and then she got mad, and all I heard was dumbass, and she stalked off. So
yeah. Maybe if you're not asleep, you're still in
a relaxed state.
Relaxed. And that's what I told my daughter and another friend I had. How do you do that? And I think it's really picked up more because I'm alone. Like, life gets in the way. Kids get in the way. Your life, you're working, you ain't got time. Now that I'm retired, I'm having them more, and they're coming. I thought, I'm starting to say good, bad, anything I see, you know, in my dreams. Sometimes I can daydream and I'll see the same dream. I can't explain it, but I'm gonna start saying it more, but it's quiet, peace. And I think it's like you said, a meditation, because I can sit there with no TV on, quiet, and it gets so still. I can feel people. I can feel my husband. Just feel him. I can't see him. I don't see a ghost, but I know he's there. It's just weird.
I think a lot of it comes down to energy, just like ghost hunts. I mean, it's energies, and I believe, like, the energy of the different brain waves, you have those in different states. I believe to contact with something paranormal or, you know, a loved one that's passed on, I believe that those wavelengths change in order for the communication.
Well, yeah, the Indian shamans, a lot of times their meditation and stuff like that is to the drum beat. And they found that a certain drum beat will slow your heart rate down and put you more into a meditative state, that you're more open to receiving this stuff.
And I'm the type, I'm very laid back. I don't have a high blood pressure. And my dad always taught me growing up, you got something that's on your mind, get it off. And he'd always do this, get it out of you and you're fine. And I've done that my whole life. But
now, can you control these things? Could you go, not today, I don't feel like having a premonition?
Mm-mm. I mean, I've never tried. And I don't dream every night. And it's, if it's something like your dad, I had that 3 times. I knew I was going to dinner, had it the night or lunch the night before. And I wasn't going to tell you. And come walking out, because dead stopped. But I said, I have a message for you. Because I thought, she's going to think I'm nuts. and told you what your dad said.
Well, I still think you're nuts, but well. the premonition was spot on, because it basically, she told me that my father wished that we would hug. We are not a demonstrative family. We know we love each other. We don't have to, you know, give hugs or kisses or stuff like that. And she told me that he wished that he had done that more in life.
Mm-hmm.
So just in case, you know, you people are out there, little tip, you might want to hug people more. Not me, though.
Only on your birthday.
And then as soon as I told you, it went away. I've never, and I could not tell you what your dad looked like, but he was coming through. So he had a message for you. And I have had nothing. It's just weird how it happens. Like my niece, she had the baby. I had the dream three times, and I thought, I ain't telling her. Told her mother, you know, when you get a chance, you get look, because there's going to be a birthmark, and it's on her left leg. And niece, how do you know that? I said, I don't. I'm just telling you. I didn't want the mother to know, you know, because I'm crazy. But I said, just see. And she called, sent a picture, sent me the picture. She had a birthmark. And how, I said, I can't explain it. I just, and why would I have dreamed about her? But that was coming through. And it's funny, her dad had just passed away. Not long after, about, oh, maybe 3 months after, before that. And he come through, and I said, that birthmark is a kiss from him. She seen him before she was born. They passed. Because I believe there's a higher, there's something else out there. This is a lower plane. We're going to a higher, beautiful, that's the way I look at it, beautiful place. And it's going to be perfect. We're not perfect down here. That's why we go up. But yeah, different plane.
And so, I think you kind of answered my question. I was wondering, a dream like the birthmark, do you ever wonder, why is that important enough that somebody came through to me to give that message?
Now, to me, was because of her dad. And I was told, I kept her dad, I seen her dad holding the baby before the baby came, which would mean a lot to her. Nothing to me.
Right.
But yeah, like you with your dad. Why would you even, but I had to, and once I did, and of course you just stood there, I'm surprised, I know people, dumbfounded, because I'm, but it, that's what he told me. And once I did, gone. It's like you did what, like I'm just giving messages.
Now, what about bad messages? You ever have to pass those along?
I have a couple times to my daughter, and saying, I don't want to go into what, but I don't want to tell you this, but this is what I'm thinking. And of course, my daughter, you know, like, yeah, right. And it happened. Two times it did that. And I said, I'm just good, bad. I'm just going to spit it out there. But two things happened. And I didn't want to tell her, nothing. I mean, no deaths or nothing, but something bad and friendship. And I said, it ain't going to work. And the other part, they got married, and I said, it ain't going to last. It didn't even last a year. How would I know that? I don't know those people. It's just I knew them through her, and I didn't want her, I guess, them getting, I don't know. But I told her, because she's like, it happened. And I'm like, I told you, don't ask me how I know. I just know. Certain things. Other things, nothing. It's just weird.
So do you have any advice for people that suddenly are waking up and going, why am I getting these premonitions? What would your advice be to somebody who's just found out that they're slightly psychic?
I just listen to your soul. I mean, it tells just, and if it keeps coming, you know, like a dream, more, it's a message, or read into that message. What's it saying? I don't know. I've had it my whole life. But it's more now, because it's more, I don't have a life, meaning work, job, kids, got to do this, fixed it. I don't do none of that. It's peaceful.
And would you consider it a gift or a curse?
I think
you?
A gift. Yeah, gift. Because not everybody has that.
It's a good way to look at it overall. I mean, some people look at it as a curse because I've watched shows, read books, read stories where people look at it as a curse. Like, this still always just happens to me and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. This is probably one of the greatest outlooks I've ever seen for somebody that can do something like this. Good or bad, you've said it already. You're going to get it out there. Get it out there. And that's great, you know, because people need to know.
And I always remember my dad. Anything. If something bothers, that's why I'm mouthy. And just say what's on my, get it out. Because if it stays in, it festers.
Yeah. Well, and it's just going to keep coming to you at that point, right?
Right. So if you learn just to go with it.
Yeah. That is awesome. Becky, we want to say thank you for being on the show with us and kind of giving us some of your experiences and some of the stuff that you deal with. We appreciate that.
I love knowing that there's so many people really that have a gift. It's just, you know, not plastered everywhere. Chances are most of you listening know at least one person. You might not be aware that they can, but they can do something that you can't. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by them.
And a lot of people are afraid to say. You know what I mean? Yes. If you don't know the people, they, you know, look at you like you got two heads. But yeah.
But you're right.
And I think everybody has it. They just don't know how to tune. I think we're all born with that sixth sense. And I don't think people know how to use it. Or they're afraid of it. They don't.
I was about to say, that's probably the most of it. They're afraid of it.
Yeah.
I believe that we build mental blocks to it. Because that's what we're taught is normal.
Yeah.
Right, right. But yeah, just go with it.
And even in ghost hunting and stuff, a lot of times I used to hold back things that happened, things that happened at the Hinsdale house, thinking people are going to think I'm crazy. But you know what? I know what I saw, and I know I'm not crazy, so I'm going to tell you everything I saw. And you have to make up your own mind whether you're going to stay away from the crazy person or just accept the fact that this stuff is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. We want to thank Becky for sharing with us today. Our next guest is Dan. Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Dan, we've been on a few ghost hunts with him. I'm going to call him the dowsing rod specialist because some of the stuff I've seen him do and be able to do is amazing. Dan, would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, I'd like to talk about how I got started dowsing. And I will tell you that we all went on. I've been on a few ghost hunts with Jackie and them and was quite the skeptic. Was not buying it. Nothing scary, if you will, got my attention. My hair never raised. I don't have any hair. but we went to a governor's mansion in Kentucky where there were two 16-year-old psychic girls. And they're, if you will, they're doing a tour. And as we're doing this tour, you know, we're going through and the one girl's talking to the other girl and they're talking about all this evil stuff and it's, don't go in this room. And, you know, and I'm still just, okay, I'm along because my wife wanted to do this, so I'm along for the ride. Later, we go into the kitchen, and the girls are talking about the cook and how she still sees everything in that kitchen the way it was, so the lights she don't see and all this. And then she gets out these dowsing rods and start letting people come up and ask questions, and the dowsing rods would move, and the dowsing rods would hug them, if you will, and I'm just standing in the back enjoying the show. All of a sudden, one of the girls stops dead and says, wait a minute, there is somebody here that doesn't believe. Little pause, and I'm thinking, nah, she don't know. And she points at me and says, it's you. And I said, yeah, you're right. I'm not buying this. It's a good show. She said, well, come out here. And I went out there, and she gave me the dowsing rods. And, you know, I have control over moving them dowsing rods. But I also don't have to move them because they'll move. And they moved. And I never had such an old Jesus Pete moment in my life.
I was about to say, that's when the hair that you don't have actually did raise.
It did stand up. I mean, it was, and I mean, like I said, I And I kind of figured the people are having up, or, you know, they're put onto this, you know, it would be easy to move them rods, and it is. But it's also easy to hold them steady, and they move on their own if you know what you're doing. And these did move on their own, and you can feel the pressure of them moving on their own. They don't just move, you feel them being pushed. So, yeah, all of a sudden I became a believer. I don't think I slept for a couple of days. But ever since then, it kind of opened up the world to me. We would go on ghost hunts, and I would see and feel and hear more and more things, because I think because I quit not believing. And instead of trying to look for a reason for it not to be, I was looking for what is there. And then we went, who was the lady, Jackie, that got me started on the dowsing rods? You remember her name?
Yeah, that was at the West Moundsville in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And she was with Haunted Heartland Tours.
Yeah. I don't remember her name, but I got to talking to her because she was good with dowsing rods. And she taught me in just a little bit of time how to use them, how to find graves with them, and all kinds of things. And then even afterwards, I kept in touch with her a little bit when I'd have a question. Like, you know, she had taught me how to tell when a grave's a male and a female and stuff like that. But I kind of lost that, so I had to get a hold of her. And she, again, reminded me how to do that. And so I've kind of... I wouldn't say I'm like you, Josh, like you say. I wouldn't say I'm the dowsing rod pro, but I feel I'm pretty good with them. I do. I enjoy them, and I do feel that I think when I'm doing it, the people who are watching me don't feel like I did, that it's a show. And that's important to me, because I don't want them to think I'm faking it in any way. And that's pretty much how I became the dowsing rod person.
Well, I also want to say, having been with you, Dan, and stuff, and I do dowsing rods also, I prefer the pendulum better than dowsing rods, but you get more spirits to talk to you than if we're both standing there side by side with dowsing rods. They tend to talk to you more than they would talk to me and stuff. So maybe because you do believe so completely in the dowsing rods, or maybe you're just willing for them to come through.
It's
and
my
stuff.
Charming personality, Jackie.
No, it's not that. No.
It is fascinating to be with you when you use them, because you know if there is anything anywhere near, you're going to see something.
Yeah.
It's rare that I don't get a response.
It's very, yeah.
And when I don't, I keep thinking, what am I doing wrong? Because I get so many responses from it.
It's exciting because you kind of want to be around when you pick them up.
Well, what I love about it, though, is you were a skeptic all the way up until that point. And when you opened your, when that started to open your mind, it just, I mean, a whole entire new perspective for you in the world. And that just, that's for me amazing. Because you get a lot of people that are skeptics. You know, I talk to a lot of people like, yeah, right. You know, you see this, you see that. But it's also, if you're closing yourself off, you're never going to have anything happen to you. If you open yourself up and give things a chance, all of a sudden, things just start happening for you. And then all of a sudden, you're like, hold on, I have this I can do this with, and I have this I can do this with, which is just amazing to me overall.
Well, and also, after you did that dowsing rod session, we did a lot of ghost hunts and stuff, and we ended up at Big Bone, and I think what you got there was pretty interesting too.
That was probably one of my most, I don't want to say eye-opening, but almost maybe an oh my experience. But we were doing the tours at Big Bone and doing them very frequently, and there was a room downstairs that we would do that. Typically, I'll be honest, I didn't feel we got a lot of activity in. It's like it was very hit or miss. We either did or we didn't. And this particular day, I didn't feel like anything was happening. But Jackie left a recorder down there.
And a duck. Remember?
That's right. It was the duck that got her attention. And Jackie said something about, I got to go get that. No, I'm going to get it. And I walked down a ramp. It's like a wheelchair ramp or something going in there. And I just, for the lack of nothing else to do, said, did you play with the duck? And I gathered up everything and left. When we listened to that video or that tape later, there was an answer on there from a little girl who said, yes. It's like, whoa.
And there is a little girl. We ran into her. I think she was French.
Yes.
And she had the French accent. And she likes the color red. And she prefers women over men. But we found small groups. I'd send three of them down there and stuff, usually with a woman. If she was wearing red, they usually got they got responses from this little girl.
A lot of them would get touched down there, would get touched probably by the women, by the little girl. They could feel the touching and comfort, if you will.
You took me there. It was within the last year. Remember, I wore red because you told me to. Yeah. So,
I mean, some of the stories that you get just from, you know, outside, we have, you know, all the stuff that we've done, including we've done Big Bone and everything, too. You guys have done it many, many times. I mean, you said that's an eye-opener for you again. I mean, I know that you said you've been on a few and you were skeptic all the way up until the point with the paranormal twins. How long was that after that you were at Big Bone and got that?
It might have been a year. I don't remember exactly, but it might have been a year.
Yeah.
It might have been actually the next summer. And it seemed like it was a little bit cool, so it might have been spring or fall.
Okay.
But about a year or so.
I mean, and that's just, you know, I know that you've continued things. You know, we've had you out with us when we did the Gaines Tavern hunt and the, you know, just dowsing for just graves alone out there. You were finding them left and right. We ended up finding out that that's where the slave graveyard was actually.
Pretty big one, too.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot bigger than what we actually thought it was. So to see you do that type of work, to me, is just awesome. That's why I call you my specialist.
At Big Bone, too, up at the cemetery, we found a lot of graves that are not in the graveyard, so per se.
Gotcha.
And a little putt-putt course and all that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember Reverend Acres, that old rundown house. And we were out there dousing for graves. And we doused out by a barn. Mm-hmm. And we were kept getting, like, they were crossing and uncrossing really quickly. And I think that's when I discovered that we found the pet cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
Once we changed our mindset to look for human graves, the dousing rods didn't cross. We had to go elsewhere to get them there.
Well, in case they don't realize when you're looking for a grave and you walk up on a grave, the dowsing rods will cross. And as you exit that grave or go past it, whether you're going the length of it or side to side, they uncross almost just drastically, a change in the motion. And so, I mean, it's really obvious when you find a grave, it is. If you know you're looking for a grave. So.
Yeah.
But like, say, we found you have to be specific.
Right.
You go looking for graves, you might find some pet graves and stuff. But you go looking for human graves, usually find human graves. And in case anybody's listening, go, have you proven it? Do we dig them up?
No.
But what happens is a grave is usually, 6 foot by 3 foot?
3 foot or so, yeah.
And your dowsing rods will stay within that parameter when they cross and uncross.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, dowsing, you know, it's just a way for people to try to convince you that things are real. Dowsing has been happening for many, many years over the
centuries,
lifespan.
Yeah.
Centuries, you know, farmers used to do it to try to find water for, you know, livestock and for wells to make and everything else. So dowsing is one of those things that to me is just amazing because it's a time tradition that goes through centuries that still works to this day.
And that's kind of one of the questions I had is, how do I know I'm finding a grave or something versus water or whatever? And that lady that helped me explain, and just pretty much what Jackie just said, you got to say, I'm looking for a grave.
Yeah.
And I've never tried to look for water. I imagine you just pretty much, you know, I'm looking for water. Well,
we looked for water there, remember, because we were kind of skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
She showed us how to look for water. She put a bottle of water, like, off on her right hand, and she had the dowsing rods, and they were straight. And then she said, I'm looking for water,
and they pointed to that bottle of water. That's right. I forgot that, yeah.
We thought it was kind of hokey, and we're kind of laughing, like, yeah, this lady doesn't know what she's doing. But, yeah, she did, and what a better way to learn that, because you got instant results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Dan, you've done many, many different paranormal hunts over years. Is there any others that stick out in your mind?
You know, there's, and I have to be honest, just because of my health and things I've been through, I don't have a lot of memory.
Yeah.
And I remember doing a lot. I remember being scared a few times. Very scared.
Was that because you're in the dark with me, or that, was that
scary? That's always scary, Jackie. Yeah. But sometimes you just, you're in a room where you just know there's something here that I really don't want to be associated. And there was a place we went to, Jackie. I don't remember what it was, but up the steps, at the top of the steps was something that wouldn't come down, but really kept us on edge.
I think that was the Damsville. But no, when you said that, I got to thinking about Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
Well, I was just about ready to say
when
that.
When we were in that one room and I called you in because we were getting, I was getting bad thoughts off that so-called altar. And when you started reading the Bible, I made you stop because you were angering something.
I made something very mad, yes.
I think almost everybody we were with was in the room at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it was like, I do have hair. And it was it was like standing up and just kind of waiting for something to go boom. It didn't like him reading that Bible
at all.
It did not
at all. And no. Jackie's like, put it away.
Yeah, somebody was going to get hurt. So, no, do you have any other?
No, nothing that really sticks in my mind. But
what kind of hope? I know we've gotten busy and you've gotten busy, but I do miss ghost hunting with you and Tina, and I hope we get to do it again.
I want to do it again very soon if
Tina
we can this year or whatever.
Tina was telling me when I went out before we started that she was getting the itch, I guess you could say.
We are
and sometimes
do...
we need a sacrifice, sacrificial lamb. And Tina, she's taking her Tina's place. Yeah. Okay.
Or we invite Carrie along to sacrifice.
Yeah, that's true.
And we are going to do next year at Waverly Hills if you're interested. The price has gone up $10, and once we get that taken care of, I'll let you know.
Sounds great. Yeah, I think we'd be interested in going again.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all for talking with me and having
Dan,
me.
Dan, thank you for being on here. This is it was a great experience talking to you. All right, and we would like to thank Dan now for being on the show. But now we have Tina, his wife. Tina, say hello for us.
Hello.
We're going to ask her some, you know, questions about some experiences she had. Jackie has one that she was with her more indistinctly, so I'll let Jackie take over.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll set the precedent first. We did a place, we did it several times, I think, called Sadamsville Rectory in Ohio, and it's what it is. It was a rectory. It has a church in front of it, and I believe there was another building that I thought was affiliated with it too, but the rectory was where the preachers stayed, the Catholic priests stayed. And there was also rumor, which I found out was not a rumor, that the priest had molested, one of the priests had molested some small boys. We're pretty new to this ghost hunting things. And there was me in this building, there was me, Tech Jeff, Dan, and Tina. Tech Jeff and I were downstairs. Dan, I believe, was also downstairs in the room next to us, and Tina had gone upstairs. So take it from there, Tina.
I was talking to the ghost, and I told it that it could touch my hand if it wanted to. And about that time, not long after, we heard a big bang, and I think Dan was upstairs.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah, in another room. And I walked to the door, and I said, "Dan, did you hear that?" And he goes, "Yes." And then my head started hurting, and Dan came out, and I don't know what happened, and I almost was trying to push him to get down the steps and told him to go on. About the time I got downstairs, my head was just, it made me sick.
Well, I remember because we came out, we all heard it. Tech Jeff and I were downstairs, and at the same time that bang happened, my flashlight swung up and hit my wrist, and both lights, it has red and white, both lights came on. And I turned to Robin going, my flashlight's on. And we heard Tina going, Dan. We went out. We were at the bottom of the stairs. When we looked up, I thought Tina was going to fall down the stairs. She was like, and we're in the dark, and I can see how white she is and stuff. And you weren't walking too steady or anything. So, but you did make it down the stairs, and you did say your head hurt. And we put you in the front room. You were laying down there and stuff, seeing if the headache would go away and things.
Now, I ended up going to the hospital because the headache got so bad. And it put me down for about a week.
Yeah, I think you said you went to the hospital twice or just once?
I think it was once.
Once, yeah.
So are we thinking possession?
Not full possession, but maybe it messed with her enough that, yeah. So Tina's laying down there, and we always have one person staying with her. First, Robin and Dan went up, and they were literally tracking something. It was upstairs. We'd see a small ball of light. I know you people are orbs or dust and stuff, but this one was moving too purposely. It wasn't dust. It wasn't a bug. It was paranormal. Then Dan came down and stayed with Tina, and Robin and I went upstairs, and we chased this thing. We went into one room. And we just started on it. Why'd you do that to Tina? You're not allowed to do that. How dare you do this? And it left that room and went into another room, what they were calling the demon room. And the demon room had two doors in it. And Robin and I are hot on its little tail. And we walk in the demon room, and it went out the next door, and it left. But, yeah, it was definitely something. And we were chasing it.
Well, Tina, let me ask you a question, because you said you got a headache and it got progressively worse to the point where you had to be hospitalized, you know, go to the hospital for it, get medications and everything else. Did you get sick from it too? Like overall, you know?
Yes. I got sick before we even left Sedanville.
Really?
I was throwing up sick.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we're only there maybe an hour, 2 hours tops, and as you were getting sick and stuff, you and Dan decided that you were calling it quits. So
now, when that was happening, initially, did you correlate that to the ghost hunt, or was there any thoughts that you were just happened to be what you were doing when you got sick?
No, it was related to the ghost hunt. Yeah, I was fine when I got there. Never had no problems any other time.
I was about to say, do you like suffer from constant migraines any other time?
Or? No.
Okay. No. So, yeah, and those are questions that we ask, you know, everybody, you know, whenever they ask them, just because you got to make sure you look at all the things. But, I mean, you know you better than we know you, of course. You know, if you don't have migraines and then all of a sudden you're getting a really bad one like that, you know, asking, saying, yeah, I mean, you specifically asked for, you told it, they could touch you?
Yes.
See, then now you're starting to get into those different things. So overall, toward the end of it, was it finally just rest and kind of coming down from it that helped you out? Or, you know, medicines? Or did you do anything to maybe stop the headaches?
There was nothing they can do. They kept me overnight, and even the medicine they gave me wouldn't take it away.
Really?
It just faded over. It was about a week, a little over a week.
Wow. I mean, that's rough.
It is.
Yeah.
So back to like the night that it all happened, you said that you were like having a conversation and you told him it was okay to touch your hand. Did the bang that you all heard happen after it could have touched you and drained you in order to make that bang happen?
Hold on, they're thinking back.
Well, we did. Like I say, I heard the bang. We all heard the bang. Tech Jeff and I were downstairs, and I thought Dan was downstairs, but he could be upstairs with you. And I also had, at that time, my flashlight got turned on. My flashlight hangs on my belt all the time. There's only one time that that flashlight has come on, and that is at Saddamsville. And both lights came on, and it swung up. And what you're talking about, I was walking across the floor. I wasn't on a roller coaster. This flashlight swung almost to the top of its swing and hit my arm and came on. Now, when we went looking for what had happened to Tina and stuff, and I think after you went home, we went up to the attic, and there was a huge sheet of plaster. It wasn't drywall. It was plaster and lath. And it was laying on the floor. And I could not tell you if it had been like that when we had first gotten there or whether that plaster had fallen and what that had to do with anything. But it was like, because I remember, bam, I turned to Robin, my flashlight's on, and I hear Tina going, Dan.
I'm just saying, if all those things happened for a spirit to do them, it had to get
an excessive
amount of energy from somewhere. And I would think if you're taking that much from a human, it would almost be like taking part of their life force, because that had to be, that was a lot.
Which,
with a bang and a flashlight and her head's hurting. And
well, which at the same time, depending on how, you know, like I've been touched, drained before. You know, for me, it's not headaches. For me, it's an overall, like, I literally can't move. So tired that it's, I can barely walk. When I've been drained like that before, Tina, thinking back into any other paranormal hunt that you've ever been in, have you ever felt like you've started to get a headache that's just never been as bad, just kind of started to get one? Maybe you think maybe you were drained at that point.
No,
nothing like that. So, no. I mean, it might have been how her body reacted to being drained.
It sounds like there's a pretty powerful entity of some sort at Amsville.
I think we need to ask her one question. Have you ever told them they could touch you after that?
No.
Yeah.
I've been touched before down in Waverly. Actually, we was just talking about that.
The little boy, Timmy, touched you twice.
I don't know that they can take as much if you didn't, unless you've offered it. I think they can affect you, but I think when you offer them to do it, it changes maybe the amount of transferred. Or
we all go in with protection. If maybe it's like a vampire, he loses power unless you invite him in. Once you invite him in, he still has all that power and he can come in. So if we're there and we're touched and we haven't offered it, we do have protection. And maybe they can't, physically we can feel the touch, but they can't get through spiritually because of our protection.
But when you open yourself up, you're offering for it to happen. Now you've opened yourself up, your protection is no longer valid. It starts to draw everything, and it sounded like it had a major effect on you, Tina.
And
overall,
I think that they can, they can continue to disrupt you or pull from you even after you're gone. My opinion on that formed from Octagon Hall.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to be there. I believe once you've opened that line of communication or whatever you want to call it with any entity, they have some way of finding you. I don't know if it's on a psychic highway or...
Until you've closed it off to the point to where they can't do it anymore, correct?
Yeah, and that's not... that doesn't happen by you just saying, don't talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might be a little different for you psychically. I do at Fairfield, with protection, that one ghost kept touching me.
Yeah.
And you came back with an attachment, and I actually did too. And when once I got rid of the attachment, just went, hey, wait a minute, I don't want this, you know, balled it up and threw it away, everything was fine. So not being a psychic, maybe it does work that way for us, but for you, it might be a little bit harder to shut yourself off.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Actually, we went back to Saddamsville. We made another trip after that.
Yep.
And I remember you telling me, don't ask them to touch you.
Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah.
I mean, when you went back, did you feel like you were more prepared, kind of ready to go into it then by that point?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, you know, Octagon Hall, again, for us, it's one of those things. I think the first time we went in, we were a little bit more open because we didn't know what we were going to deal with. The second time we went in, we were probably a little bit more closed off, a little bit more fierce, I guess you can say, kind of thinking what we're going to run into, and ended up running into something else, you know. But, you know, I think the second time going back, I think you were probably a little bit more headstrong, like, I'm not going to let this happen to me.
Yeah, I wasn't scared or anything. It was just I put up this wall.
Yeah.
And did what Jackie had told me to do. Don't ask for them to touch you and stand your ground, make your...
I always say, treat them like they're your child, and you got to talk to them like they're a two-year-old. You don't challenge them, but you let them know these are the rules, and we're going to abide by them.
Yeah, and it turned out good that time.
Awesome. I mean, it's so far everything we've gotten today. You're seeing things from different levels, and I love everything that we're hearing so far. So, Tina, thank you for sharing your story about Saddamsville, because that's another crazy thing for people to understand. When you're doing this type of thing, you have to be aware of what could possibly happen to what can happen overall. So that's great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Knowledge is not worth your safety.
We want to thank everyone that come on and talked to us today and shared their story. We would also like to hear from everybody out there through our Facebook page at Not Just Ghost Stories. Also, at our website at notjustghoststories.com, you can email us and contact us that way. So until next time, this has been Not Just Ghost Stories. My name is Josh.
Laura.
And Jackie.
And we want to thank you for listening.